Sirenauts, and welcome to this week's Observations with me, your host, Sovereign Sire. I'm brought to you by the good people or not so good people at julieland.com. And as always, I'm here with the wonderful, the amazing, the magnanimous, the delightful Richard Avery.
You forgot the tired, the old, the crabby, and the hungry.
Also having some back pain today.
Exactly. Always. Never goes away.
Aw, little kitten.
Who do we have here today?
Today in the South Pod, we have Chris Fairbanks. He looks like a matinee idol.
That's me.
He's a matinee idol. Tiger Beat Hunk of the Month.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Thanks, you guys.
He's very charming and adorable.
Oh, thank you, guys.
It was between you and Sean Cassidy. It was a huge vote off.
Cassidy. I can only strive to be a Cassidy.
Exactly. He did make intimations through text that he could potentially wear a singlet because he used to wrestle, and then I couldn't find it. One time,
we were having a party and all these drunk dudes that we didn't know showed up, and so I went and put on the singlet, but upside down, so the shoulder strap was just in between my balls, and just danced around as my... Anyway, they left. That's a good way to get rid of people.
Does this get you women?
No. It's just, I found that when someone's being aggressive or they want to fight and they're the kind of dude, just get naked. Just take it, because they're like, what the hell? And they get out of there because they're scared.
The bros don't want to see wieners.
They don't. That's not true.
Maybe privately, in a gentle way. But if they're like, I'm ready to fight.
Given the popularity of gay porn,
I've seen it work so many times. Just get naked.
You said you were shy. You said you wanted to talk about shyness, and this story. Well, no, that's kind of, I'm not shy. I don't think he's too shy to fight.
But I'm not shy, and I'll quietly and awkwardly take my clothes off to avoid a fight. I'm serious. If someone's coming at you in the street and they're a lunatic, take your pants off and take your shirt off and be naked, and they won't touch you.
I know. I feel like, as a female, that's the wisdom's a little different.
It's totally different. I am exclusively speaking to dudes.
Next time you're attacked, just take your clothes off.
Because usually when I get attacked, they're trying to take my clothes off.
If someone's attacking you, put on more clothes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, take the guy's clothes off. Put them on you.
Put on a trench coat.
Yeah. I jog every morning, and I have done that since I was 14 years old. And I've only been attacked like physically twice, but both times it was like one guy was like chasing me on a bike with a knife, and then I was able to get away.
Wow.
Then another guy like ambushed me, and he definitely, in the process of trying to pull me into the bushes, was like already trying to get my clothes off.
Oh no.
Which is like, I don't know. Like,
this is horrifying. Where do you jog?
Trembling Hills.
You know what's ironic
is that street harassment is kind of, I guess as a girl, you just deal with it and then you'll tell someone a story later and they're like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You're like, oh,
men
yeah,
have no
I
idea.
Guess it's like
yeah.
kind of, but I've, ironically to me, I used to, when I lived in Manhattan, I would go jogging in Battery Park every morning. Mm-hmm. No one ever really gave me any problems. In Highland Park, it's not too bad. Mm-hmm. But that was, you know, an area around my house where I grew up in a small town in California. And it was like, you know, that's like where the most weird stuff happened.
Wow.
How does this go along with shyness?
Oh, we're just talking about like in a fight and taking your clothes.
I know. Yeah. Like,
but
now we're going into
the
rape.
It's like, is that I tend to be a very like shy person. I'm a little uncomfortable asserting myself. And so we had Rye Silverman on here.
She was sort of talking about how
the first time that she was sort of the victim of like a hate crime, she was like, you know, the weird thing about like when you're trans or something is like, you don't think about like, what will I do if that ever happens? What you're thinking is like, what will I do when it happens to me? And it's the same thing as a female for sure. I've never thought like, I wonder what will happen if someone tried to rape me. I'm always like, it was like when I was being pulled into the bushes, I'm like, okay, this is like when it happens.
Yeah.
It is happening now.
That's awful.
So, but it was a thing where what I found is that in those types of situations, I'd always thought that I would be really scared, weird, whatever.
Yeah.
And I found that every time that I've been attacked or something has happened to me, I've actually surprised myself with how calm I am, and I'm like, have been able to get away and throw punches and kind of like I sort of surprised myself. I'm like, oh, like when the heat's like really on, like I'm totally cool. Like,
right.
Like
yeah.
I'm the one you want in the game. Like I'm going to stay cool headed.
There's only been like, I got in a car wreck, I guess, which is maybe traumatic, like being attacked, because we got attacked from behind by a dude going 45 and would stop. But I remember, yeah, being impressed with myself, like staying calm and dealing with it and climbing out of the car. And,
but you were drunk.
But it was probably the whiskey.
Isn't there a certain like, because the job, you're a comedian, so everyone's like, isn't that like number one fear is public speaking?
Yes.
And so it's something you do.
Yeah.
Pretty regularly.
And I, otherwise you'll starve if you don't do it. I just had to get over it. It took like a year of going up a lot because it's not natural. I think it's a weird and unhealthy thing to think that people want to hear what you have to say out of the gates. Like when someone is just confident right away and has stage presence, I'm envious, but I also, it's like, well, that's not normal. I don't know. It took me a long time to realize that I can, to just develop the confidence.
Some people have it. Some people have that.
I didn't have it out of the gate. Yeah. I was quiet.
I think it's also the same thing. Like as an artist, I always say I didn't grow up talented as an artistic. My brother was, but I worked hard and developed artistic talent.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of thing. Some people are born with it, blessed. And then some people aren't. Same thing with public speaking.
Right.
I couldn't sit in front of a crowd. I'm having trouble with the two of you here talking to you. So I don't know how you can walk into a room, go on a stage, and just look at a bunch of people, and they're just like, all right, entertain me.
Yeah, you got just practice doing it over and over, and then it wasn't scary anymore. But it's not. Of course, it doesn't feel natural to go up in front of people.
Did you have to drink in the beginning at all?
Yeah, I used to have a couple. Yeah.
Just sometimes to liquid much. Courage kind of a thing?
Yeah, that was at the end. Now I know to not do that. but yeah, it's really scary when you start. And I saw for other people, or for comics now, I see brand new comics that have stage presence, but there's still something missing. There's no way around putting in the time.
Right.
Right.
Usually you see it in the material with someone. They'll have like 10 minutes only. But there is this confidence with people, so I'm always. But yeah, we were going to talk. There's a fine line between confidence and just cockiness. Like, there's this. I don't like anyone that's like sure of themselves in a way where it's. I quickly am offended by people that are overly confident, but I look up to people that just are comfortable with themselves. It's like a fine line, you know what I'm saying?
There is. No, there is.
Is there a comedian that you are particularly impressed with in terms of their stage presence and their, what you would say, I guess, what you're talking about, it seems like, is a sincerity or authenticity, like authentic confidence versus...
Yeah, I do. I think, I mean, there's so many comics that I like, but there's a lot of, like, if you go to the Comedy Store one night and there's just some dude with like a vibrato that's like acting like a comedian that is just comfortable with himself, it's kind of hard for me to watch. So it's like, oh, you're just, but deep down they probably aren't. They're probably riddled with self-doubt.
Do you play venues like that? Would you consider your comedy more mainstream or alt? Or
I would consider it more alt, and I do not enjoy the store as much as other places.
What are your favorite venues to?
I like the Improv, and then there's just so many shows in town that are at bars that are good, or outdoors at a taco place or whatever. There's big.
I was just waiting for you to say
yeah. I usually perform at Chipotle while I'm waiting for my meal.
The first place I performed here was at Lucy's Laundromat. There used to be a show in the laundromat.
I totally remember those.
You'd do stand up for people doing laundry.
That's over on...
It was on Sunset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally remember that.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah, a long time ago.
No, the purpose-built comedy clubs sort of scare me a little bit. Redbone is trying to get me to go up and do some time. Like I've been thinking about going up and doing time, and I've been, like, working on a set, but at the same time, it's, like, never... Like, whenever I walk into, like, the purpose-built comedy clubs, I'm like, but not here. And he was like, no, I have this great idea. Okay, you're going to go up, and this is what's going to happen. And it's like he's describing to me sort of... a thing that would happen to me at like the Comedy Store. Like you'll go up in front of people at this venue. And like, as soon as he got that far, I was like, that sounds horrible.
That's what I, if you would do that. It would be a place.
It sounds like that when somebody's describing skydiving with you. Yeah, okay. Like, you're going to get on a plane with a parachute strapped to some guy, and you're going to jump out of this perfectly good airplane and fall.
Yeah.
Like, okay. No.
Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing about the store. It seems like half the comics I see there, they're learning on stage instead of going to open mics and then
being
presented after they learn.
Yeah.
It's like a training ground.
It's almost like they're,
and I don't like the lighting.
It's like but it's also like a band I always say to bands where they're like, don't go rehearse at the Whiskey. Go rehearse at your rehearsal space.
Right, right.
Come here ready to go and entertain me. You know, like,
so yeah, nowadays people are just like, they immediately want to be on stage. People aren't willing to go to open mics and learn.
Yeah.
And they just act confident.
Well, and people are like, kind of like, when I started letting people know that I was interested in maybe doing stand up, people were very quick to be like, I'll get you like 5 minutes here. And I was like, maybe I should do some open mics first. What do you think? Like,
That's smart of you, yeah.
I was like, I'm totally all about that. Let's talk in 6 months. let me go do this like a couple times a week for a while.
Do you remember your first show?
Yeah, and I remember the first and second time I went up. It went well, and then for months I had trouble. And I'm like, why was it good that first time?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I don't remember what I talked about or what I said or if I ever stopped talking. it was my base survival instinct ability to make people laugh in a panic and messing up words and self-deprecating. That's all I used to do. So in the beginning, I was so uncomfortable on stage and I would flip words, you know, Cumble's Chanky Soup, stuff like that. I would come out of my mouth and it would get a laugh, and so I would... Like, well, I obviously have this weird dyslexic switching of word things that happens naturally. I'm just going to do it again. And so I had a lot of bits that were at one point legitimate mistakes, but then I would manufacture them and just recreate those.
The ability to play with this idea that people feel like it's happening in the moment.
It's amazing.
And like that's really, because you're saying that joke, and I'm like, oh wait, like I watched you do that on Conan, and I totally believed that it was like,
yeah, that's the only example I have still, I guess, but I used to have more of those, like the planned mistakes and flubs, and it's like, he's derailing, just so the recovery is the
joke.
Redeeming part in the laugh,
yeah.
But I'm not doing it as much anymore because it backfires. Even if a crowd isn't savvy, they aren't going to want to see a new version of stand-up where you might not be good at it. And then, oh, yeah, he is. Or is he? I don't know. So I'm realizing now all you have to do is just be sure of yourself and do jokes. So I've been kind of changing my style a little bit. But the only reason I ever did that was so then if you have these planned moments that appear loose that I know will get a laugh, that opens up these middle parts to be able to improvise, because that's all I really wanted. When I watch stand-up, I'm like, I can't imagine going up and doing the same. So you watch these old guys, just verbatim script every night, and they're like, even if
You have like even just Amy Schumer or Tom Papa are two people that I can immediately think of where it's like their material is so tight. Like, you watch it, and it's like...
Take my wife.
But it's like, and like it's amazing routine. and it's funny, but at the same time, and maybe it's the difference in like aesthetic if you prefer alt comedy or regular comedy, because there's some part of me that's like watching you and like, that's amazing and it's so tight, but I want to feel like any moment of that is like actually sort of authentically like anything could happen.
Well,
kind of.
Yeah, it's like it's like jazz music. You want the groove, the beat, but then you want a little room for some improv in there. Let it bounce about and come back to your.
Yeah,
groove,
people, when people have written, like for album reviews or whatever, talking about that, people bring up jazz a lot if you're like spontaneous or loose in any way. But I like all kinds of stuff. I like the scripted joke writers. I look up to it. I wish I was a strong writer, but in the beginning I felt like I wasn't, so I relied on other things. But it's all kind of changing because I've been doing it a while now, so I...
You're a veteran.
It just happened one day.
20 years ago.
God damn it. But Yeah.
I just get a kick out.
I'm learning to be confident. And my whole life I wasn't.
How do you get around confidence?
How do I get around it?
Yeah. Like, how do you get around, like, in social situations, like when you're not on stage?
I can talk to anyone. I'm not shy in that way where I'm outgoing and I will talk to people. I don't need it. I don't need attention. And I think a lot of comics, that's where it comes from. They're like, I have to be performing. I have to have people paying attention to me. I've never really needed that. I like being alone. I like people not talking to me. But I do like
making... Are you comfortable asserting yourself?
The feeling of making people laugh. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I stand up for myself and I... Okay. But I had to learn to. When I was a kid, you know, I was raised to not do that. Not to not stand up for myself, but just to, you know, keep to myself.
Go along.
Like, just be shy. It was like, you don't, yeah. Don't have a big head. Don't be cocky. Don't bother people. Just keep to yourself and draw pictures. That's kind of what...
See, for me, know. It's like what's been empowering about the internet for me is that in a lot of ways, in places where I would probably feel like more shy or something, it enables me to have kind of more of an opinion or to be more forceful, like to sort of create a personality and like...
Right, because you're kind of doing a character.
Yeah, yeah.
Excuse me. Yeah, there's stuff I would say to a group of people on stage when I'm doing stand-up that I wouldn't say to a person in conversation. I have a weird...
Like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I have a story about this guy gave me drugs and I woke up and he was masturbating and I couldn't move my body and all that. Like, I would not...
Bill Cosby?
Yeah, it was just some blonde dude. Yeah, he didn't look like Cosby. He had kind of Cosby, like, she had, like, some white slip-ons. It was more of a Cousin Eddie from Vacation type of... Or at least in the shoe department. The shoe department. Oh, man. Words are fun. But it was a thing that happened to me that I'm like, I can't... Well, I guess I could talk about it on stage, something that I would not bring up to another person. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a, you know... It's a way of dealing with something.
But I think there's things you do in private that you don't do in public and vice versa.
Right.
Everybody has that.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
To some extent.
Yeah. I think we all have hidden monsters.
Since I've been trying to write a set, I've found that there's certain... Really, it kind of came about because like, there's certain jokes that I would never make on Twitter because the medium is so permanent.
Yeah.
And so I call those jokes up close magic.
Oh, but
they're like jokes that you would tell in person.
Right.
And they would be hilarious. But I mean, you'd hope they'd be hilarious. But you couldn't put them like sort of like on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
It might seem like a little intense.
Yeah.
These ideas. So like I kind of have the same thing of like sort of this idea of like there's things that you there's like a time and a place for like kind of. Certain ideas where they might be less controversial.
I do. I'll have ideas that I will say on stage that because I know I can sell them with cadence or a look on my face or just the being sure about it. But on paper, I'm like, oh, I'll lose a bunch of followers if I say this. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff where I'm like, I can't say that. I can say it, but I can't type it out and have people read it.
I did a blog.
It's just the way you say things sometimes.
Tone gets lost.
Yeah. That's the problem.
I always forget the internet's toneless. And it's like...
When I write emails to everybody and she knows I rant about shit all the time, I always tell her, just don't add tone to this because there's no tone in my writing whatsoever. Right. And even in my texts and my tweets, I tell people, just don't put tone in it and you're all good.
I waste a lot of time with commas and exclamation points and I'm like, just to make sure they, oh yeah, oh wow, you have punctuation. That's terrific.
No, I wrote a blog about like how to be funny in LA doing stand-up and I thought it was hilarious. Because it was just basically like, it was poking fun at everyone. It's like... And the end of the thesis was like, listen, if you don't know you're wearing a uniform, you need to get another fucking job.
Right,
like,
right.
If you don't recognize that you're wearing a uniform when you get up there, it's like, but a friend was like, it went up and my friend texted me and he was like, are you mocking me? And I was like, what are you talking about? He said, that blog.
I know.
And I was like, no, I was mocking everyone else but you, of course.
Oh, you were mocking them? Oh, okay.
But no, that... I was not.
It's but funny.
It was more just this thing of like, I'm sure he was in there somewhere. Mm. Because it was more just like, I went to like a bunch of shows and I was like, oh, here's some things I've noticed.
It's like when I rant on Twitter about certain, I see a girl do something and I post a picture and I rant, no more fucking selfies with your bong. Yeah. No more stupid ass pictures when you're waking up in the morning. And I never put the girl's name and then I get that text. Are you talking about me?
Yeah.
Oh, like, no, not at all.
Like, come
Everyone
on,
thinks they're being talked about.
Well, and it's just this thing where it's like,
let's
like,
all just stop and realize that no one is thinking about us.
Or just recognize that, like, in a
they're
way,
thinking about
it's like
themselves.
It's a thing, it's sort of done out of love. It's this thing of like, oh, or like, because I think I went to a bunch of open mics and it was so many people were talking about getting herpes, which I thought was, on one hand, I was like, that's kind of cool that like the stigma is kind of going away from this thing that like most people have. So like on that part, I was like, oh, like some modern times. I was like, but the irony is all of these comedians that are talking about all the herpes they have are also, the next joke is like how they're so lonely and da-da-da-da. And I'm like, so it's like swimming through like all the like the pussy on your way to like Narcissism Island. Like,
yeah.
Like this kind of like not recognizing the irony, and it's like clearly you're actually having quite a good time.
Yeah.
Because you're being reckless and young and everything.
Yeah.
Like clearly you're getting laid all the time. Like everything else about the routine would imply such a thing. But then like the thrust of your argument is that you're lonely or women are scary or guys are scary or guys don't want to date you because you're heavy or skinny or whatever. You know, it's like sort of that.
Well, yeah.
Like kind of not recognizing these weird kind of like, but the overarching theme is like, this is why I don't believe you, because like the underlying thing is like,
for me though, with comedy, it's like, I don't think there's anything funny about someone who gets laid all the time. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Is it's like,
yeah, it's like, oh really? You're like, there are like handsome comp. They're like, oh, he's fucking this girl. It's like, oh, you're not funny. It's like having muscles too. That Joe Piscopo thing where you just get, it's like once you have muscles, which is why I go to the gymnasium only once a week. It's nothing funny about
and that's
being...
And that's just to go to the juice bar.
Yeah. I'm not saying you can't be handsome or whatever, but it's just like no one wants to see someone.
Well, can
that
I say the
cool
that when
comedy
I,
isn't cool? I don't.
When I told my
like
roommate I was having
it's...
you on, she said, "That's the first comic you're having on that I'm like really insanely jealous because he's so cute."
Oh, that's nice.
Who
isn't
said
that?
That?
Nice? I don't want to out her. I don't want to out her.
Let's not out anybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm just saying.
Someone likes me.
You have a fan.
It was me.
You're one follower.
Someone is thinking about me.
Exactly. It was
you're
me.
Not alone.
It was me. I'm my own roommate.
You have a mirror.
That was me flirting. Oh my god. And with that, let's just end this episode because that's embarrassing. So I hope
we address confidence. I don't know if we fully did.
I was
did.
Able to flirt with you through an avatar. I made something up and then had that person flirt with you. See, so
I love just a blue version of you and your ponytail plugs into your horse.
Yeah.
That avatar?
Yes.
Ah, see, sometimes my jokes suck.
Tell people where to find you.
You can find me at, and just say my address. I'm at
234.
I don't know why I'm getting murdered right now, just as I'm getting stabbed. Oh, what's that address? On Twitter at Chris Fairbanks, website chrisfairbanks.com. Podcast Do You Need a Ride on allthingscomedy.com. And that's about it.
Very good, Chris. Very good.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And you know me. You can find me on Twitter at Sovereign Sire. And you can find me on my amazing, wonderful, lovely website run by Richard Avery, ilovesov.com. He is the rainmaker. He brings all the mirth, the joy, the pussy.
All of
it is possible because Richard Avery...
And the drugs. It's all about the drugs.
It is. But without Richard Avery, there would be no ilovesov.com because he works tirelessly to post my blogs
and put those galleries and post
these podcasts and edit them and promote them and do all those things. And it is a lot of work. So thank you very much, Richard Avery.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you endlessly. And that's it for this episode of Observations. See you guys next time.